Brad and Brit, Brad and Brit, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune into Brad and Brit.
That is the Brad and Brit cast. Thank you for joining us. It's our final one for this week, and we're going to have a long weekend. No Monday, Brad and Britcast. That's because I expect to start for one of those teams playing Monday Night Football, neither of whom I know.
But the call's coming.
I'm going to be playing. But I'm expecting the call. I'm expecting the call.
Keep loose and ready. It's all that matters.
Do this and then be back on Tuesday, and one day it will all be revealed. Mm-mm. Okay, the list. The Traveling Revenge Berries.
You love it.
DeSantis, still with the Freddy Krueger shtick. Mm-hmm. George Houdini Santos escapes death. A little quiz. Who said, leave my children alone? Was it Trump, some guy in the Gaza Strip, or Nick Cannon, who said, leave my children alone. I don't even know how many I have.
Right.
Innovative Alabama and their new fun execution method.
Wow.
Or Freudian slip of the century.
Oh, boy. Let's do the Freudian slip of the century. Why not start? The last shall be first, as it says in the Bible.
To see it this
year. There you go. Here he comes.
But it may also be the last election we ever have. If this election...
Why did you disappear, sir? Why did you
I wish he would disappear. That's wishful thinking.
Yeah, that was too much to hope for, wasn't it? We'll try.
You started off hot.
This election is rigged and stolen. If bad things happen, our country will not survive. If Crooked Joe and the Democrats get away with removing my name from the ballot, then there will never be a free election in America again. We will have become a dictatorship where your president is chosen for you. You will no longer have a vote, or certainly won't have a meaningful vote.
Here comes the money
and
part.
You could say, frankly, that has already begun.
Here it comes.
This truly is our final chance to save America. And with the 2024 election now less than 1 year away, this is your chance to take a stand against tyrants that support the one and only movement that can save our country and make America great again. We must win in 2024.
That's right. The MAGA tyrants. You must elect the MAGA to listen again.
We must win in 2024. If we don't win, we will not have a country. If we do win, we will make America greater than it's ever been before. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's what he said.
This guy's been a gaffe machine.
Right. You know, stand against the MAGA tyrants.
Nice. Good shit. It's good shit.
Yeah.
That's part of what Oberman was saying is like when you just talk about, oh my God. Joe Biden is so senile. So he has, oh my God. But then when you put the two of them together, I go, well, this guy and this guy.
Wait. This is him reading
off
of a teleprompter.
Well, he can't. He can't read a teleprompter. He can't read a teleprompter.
Okay.
What's the irony of that? The irony of that is nobody made fun of Barack Obama for reading a teleprompter more than this son of a bitch. And he can't even do it correctly. They have to spell out things phonetically. And they have for 6 or 7 years now for this guy on a teleprompter.
So it spells what? How does that work?
There was the speech that's so famous is there was a guy in Virginia he was going to talk about. His name was With, W-Y-T-H-E. And he literally gets to it and he has to spell the name out. He has to spell it out, and he does in front of a crowd of a few hundred or 1,000 or whatever. And then they have to do that with him on all sorts of things. Everything.
So he does that to avoid having to try to pronounce the name that he doesn't know how to pronounce. Is that the game?
Okay. It's a great name. It's a great name, folks. That was what he did.
Wait, that was a radio station I used to work at.
Yeah. Do you have any? Wait, but is there any Bobby Knight content on this list?
Of course there is.
Okay. Which door is that under?
Well, just because there's no specific headline.
Yeah, we got to order off the menu on that
one. The first thing I did yesterday was look for pictures of Bobby Knight and Donald Trump. And you can do it right now. Just put the two of them together, and you'll see the pictures of Bobby Knight standing with Trump at a podium in 2016 and embracing him. And when you think about it, Britt, could there be two more people that, at least on the surface, appear to be made for each other? But when you really dig down, and as odious a personality as Bobby Knight was, and as abusive as he was, he was not a lawbreaker.
True.
Right? He was not trying to subvert the government. He was not trying to overturn the United States of America, but his primal instincts as a guy who would do anything to win, which he did, that overwhelmed any sense of decency because he embraced Donald Trump in 2016, which, again, I'm sorry. You're sorry. We are all sorry. But if you fell for him, then you were stupid. You bought the bullshit. You thought the guy on The Apprentice was some kind of genius businessman. You thought that he had some magical potion that was going to be sprinkled over the country to bring us out of the 8-year malaise that the black guy had bestowed on this country. Oh, the 8 dark years of Obama. Oh, we need to turn that around.
I think it's also, everything you're hitting on is correct.
It's unforgivable. It's unforgivable, don't you?
I think it also goes a little deeper. I think it's also the raging, hyper fraudulent masculinity that covers up incredible insecurity.
Yeah.
Persistent, raging insecurity.
Yeah. You know, I was looking because I wasn't 100% sure of the stories and the background as to why Larry Bird never played basketball for Bobby Knight at the University of Indiana, because of course Larry Bird was just this phenomenon in high school. He was Mr. Basketball in Indiana,
right?
And he wasn't some guy that came out of nowhere. And apparently he almost went to Kentucky.
Did
and of course Bobby Knight would have just lost his shit had he
died
in Kentucky. So he enrolls. He does enroll at Indiana.
He does.
But as a hick from French Lick, like a lot of people, he had trouble adjusting to college life very, very quickly. It just wasn't for him. And he didn't click that well initially, I don't think, with Bobby Knight. And he quit. He quit. He went back to French Lick, Indiana. I think he drove a truck for a while. I mean, he just didn't do anything. And
then he goes to Indiana State.
He's over there at Indiana State.
Yeah.
And I read a piece by some fantasy guy who said, well, what if Larry Bird had played at Indiana? He says they would have won. You know, Bobby Knight would have at least two more championship rings because he already had some pretty good teams without Larry Bird. But you want to talk about one that got away. But probably in the end, for Larry Bird, it was a good thing. Right? Would Bobby Knight have made Larry Bird a better player than he turned out to be?
He made him miserable. I mean, they had all of these guys like Mr. Basketballs that would come out of Indiana, like a Steve Alford, or I think the guy's name was Damian Bailey, and Bobby Knight would ruin them. Bobby Knight would just take them and crumple them up and wipe his ass with them. I mean, it happened.
You have to fit into the system. You have to be a complete psychopath like Isaiah Thomas. To prosper under Bobby Knight and become a good professional player.
And how many years did Isaiah Thomas play at Indiana? One. Right. 1 year. He was out.
Right.
That's one of the overwhelming memories I have of Bobby Knight is they The 1981 national championship game was played at the Spectrum in Philadelphia between Indiana and North Carolina, and it was the same day that the assassination attempt was made on Ronald Reagan. So I don't know which sports writer it was, but he had this great scene about how they're down in the basement of the Spectrum, which even in 1981 was a shit building, and Bobby Knight and Dean Smith are just pacing around because they don't know if they're going to play the game or not. Because at that point, you don't know if the president's going to die. You don't know what. And unfortunately for North Carolina, they did play the game, and Indiana destroyed North Carolina. That was the last college basketball game that Isaiah Thomas ever played. That was 1981.
You know, one of the things Bobby Knight was just a series of walking contradictions, right? Walking contradictions. And he was kind of a backbencher when he played college ball at Ohio State on some really good teams.
Yeah.
They were great teams, but he was not that great of a player. And the coach of Ohio State then, it was a guy named Fred Taylor. Fred Taylor was kind of a legendary coach. You don't know who he is. He didn't have much of an outgoing personality, but he was well-loved and well-respected. I've heard Bobby Knight or read many times, he was really a mentor of mine. How could Fred Taylor be a mentor of yours?
You blew it. Failed. If that was your mentor.
He was a good guy. People liked him. He didn't abuse his players. He didn't throw chairs. He didn't punch people out.
Isn't it illustrative also that, like, the guy who considered Bobby Knight a hero and a mentor and kind of a father figure, Mike Krzyzewski, goes on and he does it right. I'm going to say it right here in front of everybody, God and everybody. Mike Krzyzewski did it right. He didn't have to be a raging asshole. There were times when he was strident and coarse, but he built the program right. Didn't have to be a son of a bitch. Didn't have to do all the things that Bobby Knight did. And even their relationship, Knight's and Krzyzewski's relationship, is even fraught with the problems, because there was one Final Four where Bobby Knight felt slighted like a pussy by Coach K and didn't talk to him for like 15 years. I mean, it's kind of preposterous.
Grudge.
Macho.
Before you let Coach K off the hook completely for, quote, doing it right, maybe he behaved appropriately but think of all the assholes that he spawned. Duke students, you know, he founded a little town called Krzyzewskiville.
Well, okay.
It's a horrible place.
Well, man, you see, you're kind of going against your own point there, because maybe if you had been an asshole like Bobby Knighthead, maybe the Christian Leitners of the world wouldn't turn out to be such dicks, and the JJ Reddicks and all, yeah. Grayson Allen, maybe those guys wouldn't turn out to be such assholes. Maybe you wouldn't have JJ Reddick on ESPN saying that anybody that played basketball in the 1960s was a complete idiot and untalented and they sucked. Maybe if Krzyzewski would have run roughshod over those guys. Hey, since we're ordering off the menu a little bit,
yeah,
I have to ask you, this is a local story. Have you seen the ads on television for the new candidate for North Carolina governor, Bill Graham?
No.
No. Dude, they're fantastic.
Is he out of the concert promotion business now?
First of all,
long Bill Graham.
We talked about how the inherent racism of North Carolina's Republican voters has to be tapped into to kill off the Mark Robinson monster, right? We've talked about that before. This is it. This is the Mark Robinson kryptonite. This guy comes out, and first of all, he looks perpetually constipated, purses his lips together, and nods quite a bit in the commercial. And he's tough on crime. This is the tough on crime ad.
Hang on, just a bit, because I assume, so he is a would-be Republican nominee.
He is.
Or governor, who's a white guy.
Yes.
Who is going to really be the racist that you can wrap your arms around as a Republican, because he's white.
That's
and
right.
You don't have to pretend and vote for Mark Robinson, who's posing, not really posing, he really is kind of he's a black racist kind of guy.
He certainly is. All right, so okay. Bill Graham is a personal injury attorney. I think part of the reason he made a shit ton of money was he got a piece of that Camp Lejeune water thing. He got a piece of that.
Oh. Well, everybody across the country has seen those.
Yeah, everybody's seen that.
They run everywhere.
So this guy, and wait for it. He worked for Jesse Helms at one point in time. He was a consultant or worked on Jesse Helms' staff.
I thought Republicans hated personal injury attorneys because they drive up the cost of doing business and we need tort reform and blah, blah. Oh, I'm sorry. That was 25 years ago. Forget that. We don't care.
When John Edwards like wins a shit ton of money for some family whose kid had their intestines sucked out by, you know, these pool people, that's terrible. John Edwards, ambulance chaser. Bah! But this guy. So I believe one of the phrases he used is, I'm going to either put him in jail or put him in the ground. I think that he uses that phrase. And he shows a collection of snapshots of people who are obviously criminals who he's going to fucking just go to town on.
Well, I'd say most of them are probably white guys, right?
Yeah. Oh, totally white. And that's the funny part is there's like 10 or 12 pictures. There's like two white people, I think, in the whole thing. And you know the campaign studied this, like, we got another cut of this. How black can we go on this? Do we need two white people or three white people in this? Is one not enough?
Without any more description, this guy feels he has to go kind of Willie Horton-ish.
Oh, yeah.
I
swear to God, it's fantastic. I may put a link in the podcast for you to see. Yeah. Because he does nod.
Put the commercial up there if you can get it.
I'm shocked. Well, this is the problem with you is when you fast forward through those commercials on Jeopardy, you're not seeing the good stuff. You're not seeing the good shit right there. It's a fantastic. He's very constipated when he looks and talks to the camera, and he's very crosses his arms and is very stern looking. Strother Martin, if I may use a somewhat dated reference. Cool Hand Luke. That's sort of that kind of vibe that he's giving off. And he wants you to know he's going to put these black people in their place. It's not very even subtle.
Is he Strother Martin like, or is he Edgar Buchanan from Petticoat Junction like?
he's Bull Connor. All of them. He's everybody who ever was. And he's about DeSantis size. He's like 5'8". But him, cute little fellow, and I think this is it. I think this is the guy that's going to toast Mark Robinson. I think he's going to just destroy this guy because the inherent racism of the Republican voter is going to come home to daddy. I believe that's what's going to happen.
You really think so?
It feels like it to me.
Name recognition does count for a lot in these kinds of races.
It feels like it to me. It feels like this is like it's one of those things. There's this thing in the human mind. When you see an innovation, you immediately go to it. I think they've written, Malcolm Gladwell or somebody has written about this. And when you see this, you'll go, oh, yes, that's the answer. That's the guy. I think you'll be very, very impressed.
Well, since you moved into the neighborhood, let me go down a house or two. Ron DeSantis went on MSNBC this morning. And doubled down on his comment that he made back in August about coming in and slitting throats on day one.
Yeah.
Slitting the throats of the deep state. So he was asked, we're going to change your language on that? And, of course, in the wonderful world of Trump, you never, ever say, you know, I might have rephrased that. I might have said that a little bit different. No. He says, I don't regret it. People knew it was a figure of speech, right? Just like come January 6th, it'll be wild. Everybody knew that that was just referring to the fact that it was a Starbucks 2-for-1 day in the nation's capital. It's going to be wild there. That's what everybody knew that. So I'm watching the beginning of this interview with DeSantis. I didn't watch. I watched 5 minutes of it, and I bailed. And the first thing that was asked of DeSantis, I think Joe Scarborough did the piece. He brings up the World Series, which ended on Wednesday night. Check page 46 of your newspaper. It might be in there tomorrow. If your newspaper doesn't have a deadline, you could get it in there. But
along with that biography of Bobby Knight, that'll happen on Friday in your local paper.
Right, season on the brink. So you know, he opened with kind of a softball question. So what do you think of that World Series? Did you watch it? Because I know you played baseball at Yale. So DeSantis is a ball player. That's kind of a wimpy way to open it. But instead of being a human being, instead of at least trying to connect with somebody who might be a sports fan, DeSantis, with no sense of humor or irony, just looks in the camera and says, "I think I fell asleep in the sixth inning, and I knew Texas was going to win." Okay, let's. Can we move on now? That was his response.
Mr. Excitement, Ron DeSantis, everybody. Stiff.
He's such a stiff. Oh boy,
there's a charisma deficit.
It's almost as if he couldn't congratulate Texas because, you know, Texas and Florida, you know, they're competitors in the biggest asshole state contest.
Who has shittier infrastructure? It's a race to the bottom between Texas and Florida.
Right. And, you know, they swap illegal immigrants forth, too. They got that thing working there. So DeSantis, oh, my God, it was painful to watch. It was painful. Enough of that.
But you can't. It's funny though, because you can't really. I think they've tried to set this guy up for success in some cases.
Over,
and he can't do it. He can't handle it. It's not possible.
Go back to Florida. You know the snowbirds are coming down now. It's November.
Yeah,
restaurants are going to be full.
Yeah,
here they come. Here they come.
Good times.
The traveling revenge berries. Leave my children alone. Let's still leave my children alone.
All right.
Because I found this to be quite entertaining when Trump blasted this crap out the last few days. In response to the fact that, you know, his dopey offspring are being dragged in front of the judge in New York in the fraud trial. First of all, overnight, last night, when Judge Arthur Engoron, one of the most overturned on appeal judges on the bench, stated that a $1 billion house is only worth $18 million and made numerous other mistakes as well. He is the fraudster, not me. He is the fraudster. Engoron is a wacko who's having a great time endlessly sanctioning, fining, and pushing around Trump. He puts Trump not only in capital letters, but in quotes. So is that indicating that Donald Trump is writing this and he's referring to Trump as a non-existent fictional character? Because that's what that seems to mean to me. You put it in quotes, not a real person, right? You're hurting my very good children and working to damage and defame me for purposes of interfering with me. Okay, so you know how that works. And it occurred to me, isn't one of the, I guess it's unwritten, but I think it's largely held to in the mob, that we don't go after wives and children of our enemies, our competitive mobsters, right? We don't, for the most part, touch them. It's just leave our children alone. And Donald Trump is a mobster. So he's using, to me, when he says that, the language of organized crime, of the mob. You can come after me, but you can't touch my kids. You know, the one that's 46.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the one that's 43. When do they age out of being able to be referred to just as your children for purposes of legal prosecution in a case that they're clearly connected to? When does that statute of limitations run out, Britt? When they're 55, when they're eligible for Medicare and you're, you know, 104. Is that what, how does that work?
Well, little Baron's only 17. I mean, come on. Do you want him out there in the public eye getting his ass whooped?
Well, he testified yesterday and I thought he did a great job. He really did.
If your kid's closer to Social Security than it is to the legal drinking age, I think they're fair game. I think that's the
that's a good way between 65 and 21, and they're all more than halfway to 65. That's as good a demarcation line as anything else.
It's the this mama bear bullshit that Sarah Palin pulled out, right?
Oh, it isn't even that. It's this that is spear. Mob shit, Britt. It's mob shit.
It's like don't go after my kid. I watched Carlito's Way last night. I had never seen that movie. Speaking of mob kind of murdery kind of shit, there's a lot of blood and violence in that one. Holy shit!
That's a Pacino film, is it not?
So I don't think it's high enough in the Pacino pantheon. I think I've done this trivia question before. Do you know what Pacino won his Academy Award for acting for?
Wasn't it Scent of a Woman?
Scent of a Woman. Not Dog Day Afternoon. Not Godfather. Scent of a fucking Woman.
Well, he lost out to Marlon Brando for Godfather, jeez, right?
That's fine. But Dog Day Afternoon was a pretty good movie. A lot of people liked it. Got some critical acclaim.
I know. We can't argue over best actor awards from 35 years ago. It gets us nowhere.
It does blow my mind, though. It does blow my mind that's what he won for. And the last time that Jack Nicholson won an Academy Award for his acting was the day after the Reagan assassination attempt.
Chinatown?
I think it was Terms of Endearment for best supporting, I think, on that one.
He didn't win for China. I don't know,
but
I said it wrong. Chinatown.
China. China.
Let's head down to Alabama.
Innovative Alabama.
Yeah, crucible of innovation in our country. The Alabama Supreme Court says that what's the nickname for Alabama? What state is that? Is that the
the racist state?
No, see, we don't know. It's not like the Beehive State or
on their license plate. Don't they just call it Sweet Home Alabama or some shit like that?
Yeah, but that's not there has to be an official nickname for it. Anyway, the Supreme Court there said they can execute you now with nitrogen gas. Have you ever heard of this?
Never heard of it.
Well, the answer is, you haven't heard of it because it's never been used here in the United States. It's an all-Republican state Supreme Court. It was a 6-2 decision. They did this on Wednesday. The Attorney General of Alabama requested for an execution warrant against a Kenneth Eugene Smith. Eugene is in fourth place behind Wayne, Lee, and Ray for middle names of criminals. The decision moves Alabama closer to being the first state to attempt an execution with nitrogen gas. Three states, and you'll be shocked at the other three states that have tried this. Alabama, Oklahoma, and Mississippi.
Oh, yeah, I'm stunned. Alabama does not have an official nickname. It has been known as the Heart of Dixie. It's also been called the Cotton State and the Yellowhammer State.
Well, but I'm glad that there isn't one that we didn't know.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I think I know most of the other ones. Anyway, those three states, three southern states, have authorized nitrogen hypoxia as an execution method, but no state has attempted to use it yet.
If you put nitrogen in your tires, then they won't lose pressure this time of the year, Brad.
Yeah, but if you put nitrogen in your brain,
you die.
I think that you get the same thing.
die.
I think this is the kind of thing that they would just try on animals first and see how it works, and then it would work on people. I don't see what the pain and agony and suffering we have in this country over, quote, legal execution when we have some asshole who can just get himself a high-powered rifle and take out 18 people in Maine in a matter of minutes, and nobody is saying, well, it's the first time that that kind of method of executing citizens has ever been used. Well, maybe others.
No. And you don't want to go down the animal route, because I think if they did this on animals, I think people would go nuts. I think they'd object way more than doing it on humans, don't you? If they started euthanizing animals this way, don't you think there'd be riots in the streets?
Why is that? Is that is that any less humane than injecting them?
When I don't know. It sounds like way more suffering if you have to huff and then you're panicking and then you realize what's going on. When you have it injected, you don't. It just kind of happens and you go to sleep. I think with the nitrogen, there's a period of time where you're like, oh, shit, I'm dying. And that's very uncomfortable from what I hear.
You know what's uncomfortable? That you know so much about this.
About the animals suffering and dying? Sure. It happens.
All right. Halloween costume regrets.
Okay.
I love this one. When you put this one in, apparently the most outrageous, horrible, inappropriate Halloween costume wasn't someone dressing up as Hamas or something in the news right now that's just tasteless. It's Emily Hampshire, who was one of the stars on Schitt's Creek.
Oh, yeah.
Remember her? She's great. She's great. She and a friend of hers dressed up as Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. And she's apologizing, saying this was one of the most monstrous, ignorant, thoughtless, insensitive things she's ever done. She was dressed up as Johnny Depp. Her friend dressed up as Amber Heard. They wore outfits that Depp and Heard wore during the defamation trial last year that everybody saw, and posed with objects referencing some of the trial's most shocking testimony. Is there like fake shit there?
I don't know. I was going to say, you have to make poop part of the equation.
The answer is yes. Yes. Yeah. And a bottle of wine. Fake facial hair Emily Hampshire wore and tattoos. And she's just begging for forgiveness on this. Okay. All right. Maybe not the most tasteful thing, but man alive. God, we are just offended so easily.
Did you see the rules that the union had as far as actors dressing up in costumes and stuff like that? You see that?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
It was so pervasive that even Saturday Night Dead did a segment about it. Saturday Night Dead.
It's pretty funny because again, there's another thing that's only about 43 years old.
49 years old.
It's not 49 because the show didn't start till 75. Stop it. It hasn't even reached its 50th anniversary yet, which I think is next. It's like next year, two years from now.
Because in 24, that's the 50th year.
It's the 50th. They didn't call it Saturday Night Dead the first season. It was like the 79-80 time when the original cast left. That's when they started that shit. But yeah, the union didn't want the actors putting on anything that might promote something that people would go buy. In terms, they didn't want them dressing up as Barbie because that would encourage people to go out and rent the Barbie movie. And they're striking. They don't want
because no one had ever heard of the Barbie movie.
Correct.
And you know, some of the kids that came to our door, I think we had a little Barbie.
Yeah.
But
when did you get to the point in your life where they started dressing up as Disney characters and you had no idea? I have no idea
who they are.
Yeah.
Oh, well, remember, I'm a minimum of 25 years past watching anything.
Exactly.
That new that Disney has put out. I mean, my kids are, you know, 34 or 31. So
whatever the little Hawaiian girl was in that Mauna or whatever it was, they came up one year and they're like, she's Mauna from this. Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sure. I'm sorry. I don't have children and I'm old. I got two strikes against me. I'm not going to know anything. If you want to dress up like Bambi's mother and have bullet holes in you, now that would be interesting. I'd like to see that.
The violence associated with that, you'd be apologizing from now.
Again, because it was inflicted on an animal. It was inflicted on an animal. By the way, breaking news, Walter Davis, the great North Carolina, one of the best basketball players at Carolina during the decade of the 70s, has passed away. Mr. Davis, part of that 1976 redemption team for Dean Smith at the Olympics after the Russians stole the gold medal from us in 72. Walter Davis, dead at the age of, I don't know, but he's gone.
All right, George Houdini Santos.
Yeah, let's do this because this is fun.
This is pathetic, okay? This is pathetic because, at least from afar, to most of us normal people, this looked like a layup, right? They held an expulsion vote in the House of Representatives on Wednesday, and it was brought forth by, I guess, four or five New York Republicans who they have the taint of George Santos's shit all over them as they head into the election next year.
This has been a rather shitty episode between.
So they want to be seen as doing the right thing. And sometimes doing the right thing actually is politically advantageous.
Remember, now nothing goes to the floor. Nothing comes up for a vote unless the Republicans want it because they control the House. It doesn't happen unless they want to do it.
And a lot of Democrats did not vote to kick out George Santos.
Mm-hmm.
Enough of them to make it so that it was impossible to kick out George Santos. 31 Democrats voted to keep Santos in Congress. And you have to start naming names here. And this is interesting. And this is a story that we've kind of let slide here. But now that there are two senators from California in place, Alex Padillo, who replaced Kamala Harris when she ran for vice president and won.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you have that other woman that was just appointed by Gavin Newsom to succeed Dianne Feinstein, who could die any day now.
Sad but true.
Not very sensitive.
Yeah, not very
sensitive. So there are three people that are running in 2024 on the Democratic side for this seat, which will be open then. And one is Adam Schiff, certainly made a name for himself during the impeachments. The other is Katie Porter, a protege of Elizabeth Warren, also made a name for herself by flipping a red district blue in Orange County, the OC. And she's won a couple of reelection turns, even though the gerrymandering was not favorable to her. She still was able to win. So she's in there. They both want that seat in the Senate. The third person is Barbara Lee, who is from Northern California, and she's been in Congress forever and is as progressive, as liberal as there is. I believe she's the only person that voted against the war in Iraq. I mean, she's the liberal credentials forever, and she thought that Gavin Newsom would give her the temporary nod, but he didn't want to be seen as playing favorites. Anyway, so yesterday, it's time to vote out George Santos. Now, of those three, one voted to get rid of George Santos, two didn't. Would you like to know who said kick him out versus the other two who said leave him in? Go ahead. Clock's ticking. Go.
That last one you were talking, the one that's so liberal, was she one of the ones that said get rid of him, toss him?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. It was a complete guess.
Wasn't much of a moral issue. So here comes Katie Porter, who's a lawyer, Harvard.
Who doesn't love Katie Porter? I mean, really, honestly, who on our side doesn't love Katie Porter?
Exactly. Single mother, flies back and forth, works hard. Adam Schiff, smart guy. So both of them voted to keep George Santos in. And they are playing he hasn't been convicted yet. And we don't want to go down the road. We don't want to go down the road of not letting the judicial process play out. And, you know, we have committees in Congress that need to adjudicate this. So it would set a bad precedent if we did this. Can you fucking believe this? Can you fucking believe that Democrats just did exactly what those who would stand and vote with Donald Trump and try to overturn the election and look the other way and right now are ready to still support Trump if he's the nominee, because, you know, he hasn't been convicted of anything yet, Britt. He's not guilty of anything yet. This is unbelievable to me.
Isn't it more cynical than that? I mean, they may be saying one thing publicly,
I'm trying to up the cynical factor here, but
they just want the Republicans to still have this guy on there, this festering boil on their face. Don't they want this guy to still be there so the Republicans will have to own him?
If that's part of it, I don't think that would be worth it. I don't think there's that much currency in it across the country. Congressional races are, in the end, decided locally. Remember how the Republicans tried to tie Nancy Pelosi to every congressional candidate running across the country? How'd that work out for them? Not too well.
Good and
not
bad.
Not too well. Don't you think you would have more currency if you could go around and say, we did the right thing. We got rid of George Santos. Nobody wants to defend George Santos. It's not as if there's anything to say on his behalf.
If it comes up in a debate, it's not going to be a good excuse. Like for a Katie Porter to say, I don't know, we have to go through the process.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And they're going to say, well, if you didn't vote out George Santos, these are other Republicans. They can say that against a Democrat, those 37, if those are all races or some of them are races that are, not heavily swaying one way or the other. If there's a debate, they get to say, look, you didn't vote out George Santos. I, the Republican, did vote to kick out George Santos. So how can you say anything about Trump? Don't try to hang Trump around me. I'm going to hang George Santos around you, and he's of the opposite party,
right,
from you. I mean, it's just, this is like everything everybody hates about government. This is why the polls come out and say, I'm sick of them both. They both suck.
Yeah.
And if you can't decide to kick out George Santos, what can you decide?
Or if you just keep him on because you want the Republicans to own him, knowing that the thing that's right for the country is to have him hit the road. You know, that is, that's not good. Were those the traveling revenge berries?
No, the traveling revenge berries is we're jumping off a piece that was written a couple days ago, and it's in the Times, the New York Times, and it describes in great detail what the plan is for Trump should he be elected again. In other words, the band of characters, of losers, of sycophants, of inadequate, pathetic human beings that were part of Trump's first administration, they will not be back, most of them, this time around. Because you know what? They don't suck enough. Okay? There were too many of them who blocked Trump when it got down to the very end, from Mike Pence to Bill Barr to Pat Cipollone. You know, you think Barr and Cipollone are going to be back this time? No, because as horrible as they are and were, they clearly would not sign on to do Donald Trump's dirty work the way he's going to want it done this time around, with his fulfilling of Steve Bannon's dismantling of the administrative state. I mean, clearly Donald Trump wants to completely blow up the Federal Workers Union, get rid of that so that he can start firing everybody who doesn't salute and write their name in blood to support Donald Trump, even though these are civil servants and they are not beholden to whoever the president is or a political party. But that's not how Donald Trump sees it. In a dictatorship, everyone in the government is just an adjunct of the leader at the top. And this time around, we will have no excuse. I was looking because I always do this. What was going on in Germany in 1932 and 33 as Hitler, who was first appointed chancellor, and then in the election the following year, was able to gather enough support from a few fringe parties and was, you know, elected dictator, in effect. Was he as open and transparent about what he would do to Jews in Germany when he was running? And the answer is, yeah, sort of. Yeah, you knew what you were getting. And this time around, with Trump, is anybody questioning about where we are, what he would do, what lengths he would go to enact revenge on people who have not bowed down to him, have not gone along with him?
Well, this is important because so many people have said this and they used to work for him. If there is a second Trump term, God forbid, but you do have to use your imagination, there won't be some of those people who were able to mitigate some of the awful stuff that he wanted
to. That's what I said.
But wait,
there's more. There's more. If I didn't say anything, if I hadn't set it up this way, and I said to you, oh, all he's going to do is take people and lawyers to work in the Justice Department, for instance, they have to have impeccable Federalist Society credentials, right, just like Neil Gorsuch.
Yeah,
or Amy Coney Barrett, or right. If you thought that was going to be true, you would be wrong, because people in the Federalist Society, they're not fucked up enough for Trump this time around. Okay, because a lot of them did follow the law in the end. A lot of them did come with that pedigree. So he's going to go beyond that.
Right.
And I don't know what kind of bottom feeder lawyers are sitting there in their offices across the country just waiting for their phone to ring for a second Trump term to get in there and dissemble democracy, not just as we've known it, but democracy as it will never exist again in the future, because you elected Trump. You elected him to be your dictator and your Jesus, and we're going to help him. And everything is up for grabs. The judiciary, see ya.
Oh yeah.
But that's the piece. That's the piece that I'm playing off of. It's from a couple days ago, in the Times. But his second term, and we've known this, is just going to be about revenge. The traveling revenge berries.
I do like that.
And it looks like the only two names that pop up who have some fame would be Stephen Miller.
Yeah.
The dick from Duke. Right?
The dick from Duke.
Right. And that guy, John McEntee, right? Who, yeah, he was a big, big competitor to Jimmy Connors and Bjorn. No, I'm sorry. That's John McEnroe.
John McEnroe.
This is, yeah, John McEntee, trusted aide, who the then president empowered in 2020 to rid his administration of political appointees perceived as disloyal or obstructive. So he was, you know, he was the battering ram. He was the bouncer. He was Trump's bouncer back then.
You can go through. I mean, I think Steve Bannon makes a comeback. Corey Lewandowski, Sebastian, you know, Gorka is going to be. I mean, I think you just play the hits on that one.
Well, yeah, you're probably right. There are probably some minor leaguers who might be elevated to.
And when Rudy gets pardoned, Rudy's gonna, I mean, they're all gonna be there. The people who didn't turn on him, that's why Sidney Powell's done, that's why Cheeseborough's done, all of them are fucked, but you know, Rudy's hung in there and he'll get a pardon.
Do you see Sidney Powell made her first payment to the state of Georgia? She sent, I think, a $2,700 check.
Oh, she didn't do the gimmick where you do the pennies and you drop them off at the clerk's desk or whatever?
Can't get away with that. No, judges don't allow that shit. They don't want you to do that.
Well, you have an onerous, you have like a traffic ticket, or you have a parking fine you want to pay. You go up to the clerk's office and you have 60,000 pennies or whatever.